You're listening to the Pinto and White Shadow Show on KFGO.com and 740thefan.com. South Beach, bringing the heat.
Can y'all feel that? Can y'all feel that? Well, Will Smith, we can all feel that. Welcome to the 042 podcast of the Pinto and White Shadow Show here on KFGO.com. Daniel Pinto Gunderson alongside Brad the White Shadow Jones. You can find us on iTunes. Like I said, KFGO.com. We'll tweet it out there. We'll Facebook it out there. This podcast, the 042 edition and the pre-Euro trip edition for Brad the White Shadow Jones, who will be
taking my whiteness abroad.
He'll be jet setting.
Yes.
Very shortly in the next coming week.
This Friday.
Yeah.
Taking a red eye. A
few days. What's your softball team feel about that?
I don't think they'll miss me.
You sure? You're a left-handed power threat.
Well, here's the thing. I bat right-handed. I throw left-handed, but I bat right-handed. I'm typically our leadoff guy for both fast pitch and slow. Well, fast pitch I usually hit second, slow pitch I hit first. So gonna lose a little bit off the top of the lineup, so that's gonna hurt. But I'm also really out of shape, so I think it's probably okay that I delay my start for a week.
And you're still that left-handed power threat, left-handed hitting power threat.
No, I hit right-handed.
But in the left, when you hit from the left side, which is not that often,
okay.
you go for bombs.
That's probably it, yeah.
Dangers.
Danger!
Is what you hit. Where can they find you, White Shadow, on Twitter?
They can find me on Twitter, at the Bison Guy.
You can find me at PintoKFGO. If you want to comment on our podcast, email us at pinto.whiteshadow@gmail.com or leave a comment under the comment section under the podcast page. At KFGO.com. Marcus from Mayville again left us a very good topic that we're going to get into later.
We will.
Later into the show.
Thank you, Marcus
from Mayville.
Tell you what, we're going to double your salary for the podcast here now based
absolutely
on that last question.
You've just gone
great
up
so
a significant amount.
Yeah.
Great question. So we'll get into that in a bit. What are you most excited about Europe? I've been to Europe twice.
Okay.
I've been fortunate enough to get there twice.
Where have you been?
I have been to London twice, but I've also been to Paris,
okay,
been to Italy, been to Switzerland, been
you
to Germany and Luxembourg.
Wow. Okay.
And I think that's it.
Okay. We're doing London. I'm co-leading a study abroad trip. So we're doing London, Brussels in Belgium, and then Amsterdam are the three places that we'll be going to. So I'm probably most excited for London in one sense, because I feel like I know a little bit more about London, and Brussels in one sense, because I feel like I know absolutely nothing about Belgium, Brussels, really, at all. So I think that'll be exciting. Before we dive into that, though, I do have to say, I just got back from a concert. I have to give a shout-out to my boy, international recording superstar, Eric Hutchinson.
He's an avid listener to this podcast.
Yeah, no, and the funny thing is, though, I actually first heard his music on a different pod, on an ESPN podcast, on the Fantasy Focus with Nate Ravitz and Matthew Berry. And he does their theme song and listens to them quite a bit. I started listening to his music through there. Awesome. So I had a little getaway weekend with the girlfriend, and it was a good time. Great concert. So I had to give a shout-out. If you're not familiar with his music, Eric Hutchinson, wonderful. Great dude.
I only know one song of his.
Yep.
And it's Rock and Roll.
That is.
It's a solid track.
It is.
I'm not into what Eric Hutchinson's doing. Not that he's bad at what he does.
Just not your
my style.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm more into getting jiggy with it with Will Smith.
Yeah, of course.
And
the Millennium. Yeah,
yes,
sure.
Miami, Switch, whatever you want to say.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
And the reason that I bring him
up. I'm more
up,
summertime.
Yes.
I go old school with the Fresh
Jazzy
Prince.
Jeff, yeah. Yes. Because.
Local.
We've got some guys headed to Miami from the North Dakota State University football team. Billy Turner. Got that one correct. Going third round. 67th overall pick in the NFL draft 2014 edition. And then Brock Jensen signing on as an undrafted free agent, both going to Miami. You also have Brian Shepard, a former defensive back for NDSU, along with Marcus Williams. Shep going to the Washington Redskins.
That is true.
And that's probably the last time I'll say Redskins on the show. I'll join the movement.
Okay.
And then Marcus Williams going to the Houston Texans.
Yes.
Now, good for them. Congratulations. That's a big haul. You also had Ryan Smith going to the CFL as well. That's five pro players. That's the most since 2008 or 2009. I can't remember. There was Nick Schomer. There was Tyler Roll. I think that would have been 2008 2008, 2009.
Yeah. That would have been
2008 season, 2009 off season.
Yes, that is correct.
And I think that class had five as well.
Okay.
But one draft pick, just like this one, but it was a seventh rounder in Schomer. Be that as it may, let's get into this.
Yeah.
With those four guys, Jensen, Shepard, Turner, Williams, which one won't make their team? Let's go negative right away with this.
Of course, because that's what you do.
Well, that's how I turn it. But which one won't make their team out of these four?
Just one, because I think it's more than one.
Oh, you think it's going to be more than one?
Yeah. I don't think Brock Jensen will.
Okay. You can pick as many as you want. Yeah. I mean, feel
Jensen,
free.
If you said you get one, I would still say Jensen. And I've been I've been on the negative side of his pro prospects the entire time. And I'm glad that he's getting a look.
Not call it negative. Let's call it realistic.
Okay. Fair enough. I believe that it's – I don't know that he quite has everything that pro teams are looking for. Which is hence the reason the winningest quarterback in FCS history didn't get drafted. I don't know that there's quite enough there. I think he'll be in the locker room, people will like him, but I just don't know that at the end of the day the skills are going to be there for him to stick around. And quarterback's a real tough position to catch on.
Quick question for you about that. Do you think that he didn't catch on because his stats never reflected those of quarterbacks like a Jimmy Garoppolo or a Vernon Adams or, you know, another guy that I can't think of at the moment, guy from Montana State, McGee, I think is his name. Doesn't matter. Do you think that he was hurt because of that?
No.
Not in the pro prospect era.
I don't think so. I don't think the pro
landscape,
the pro landscape, I don't know that they look at stats quite as much. They look at what they look at the film, but there are certain skill set that they're looking for. Now, could he have been hurt? I don't know. I mean, I guess it's kind of the same thing but different. I mean, he wasn't asked to do as much as some of those other guys, so maybe they didn't get to see all of his skills on the game film. But at the same time, you can make up for a lot of that if you have really, really good measurables. And I think his measurables are solid but not enough. Not quite enough.
I agree with you. So, I think that where the offense and the way it was ran hurt him was on a national landscape within the FCS.
Yep.
Where you didn't see him get to be a Walter Payton Award winner or a finalist even because he wasn't running for thousands of yards.
Yes.
He wasn't throwing for 5,000 yards. It hurt him in that aspect. Winning as quarterback in FCS, like you said, but I agree with you. I think Brock Jensen does not make it. Anybody else that you see? And again, he's got to go. He's one of five quarterbacks now in Miami.
Yeah.
So.
And that's for now. They may add more. So I hope he does. And here's the thing. And I can remember having this debate with about Steve Walker when he came out. And it was somebody would just give him a chance. And he was, you know, not as mobile, not as tall, not as big as athletic as Jensen is. So, you know, but there was always the, if people would just give him a chance, he would do well. And I'm glad that at least Jensen's getting the chance. He's going to get a chance to go into camp, and I hope he proves me wrong. I really do, because it would be pretty special to have an NFL quarterback on the roster, on a roster from NDSU.
That would be very...
I think that would be...
It'd be unique,
yeah.
Considering the history of quarterbacks at NDSU, because... The history of quarterbacks in NDSU, they're going to project more to a running back type of player.
Yes,
with how the offense has been ran in years previous. But I agree with you in the sense that I just don't think Brock Jensen, it's a long road to climb, especially when you have five quarterbacks and they're all, you know, young quarterbacks. That might be working in his advantage in the fact there aren't that many in there that have been in the league a long time. Ryan Tannehill's your obvious starter.
Yep.
And then Matt Moore, I think, is going to be your obvious backup.
Yep.
And then after that, it's a couple other guys. I know it's Aaron Rodgers' brother.
Okay.
Is in there. And then there's another guy that I cannot remember what his name was. And then it's Brock Jensen.
Okay. And here's the thing. Jensen's going to be a very polished product. He's used to a lot of media time. So that's going to help him. I mean, I think he's going to come off very mature in the locker room there. But who knows? You know, give him a shot. Maybe even give him some preseason snaps. I think it'd be really neat to see.
We're both in agreement. Billy Turner, obviously going to make the team as a third-round draft pick. There's even some talk that he might get a shot at starting right away. We'll see how he does at guard. I'm not going to say he will or won't. I want to see how he does.
I have no idea. We have no idea, really. But
no, I think your best...
third-round pick, you got a shot. When you're a third-round pick, you got a shot.
And we have a question about where he went a little bit later, but the question still remains, is there anybody else that you don't see making a team? And Brian Shepherd, Marcus
Williams.
Yeah,
Shepherd's probably the guy.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know that I see it.
Okay.
And here's the thing. When you're picked up as an undrafted free agent, your odds aren't great.
No, they're not.
I'm kind of going based off of that and something else that we'll get to in the next question. But Shepherd, I would say probably not. And I'd even have questions about Marcus Williams.
I'm going to say that Marcus...
Over under 1.5 guys that start the season on the 53-man NFL roster. So not including practice squad, on the 53-man. Over under 1.5.
Let me grab a pen because I know what you're going to go with this.
Okay. And you... I
think we both know our answers here. But
and you're taking?
I'm taking the over.
Okay.
You're taking the under.
I'm going to take the under and hope to be surprised.
Okay.
If I was going to pick one, it's Marcus Williams would be the second guy, in my opinion.
And to me...
The only thing that hurts him, though, is that Matt Schaub isn't there to make him look good and throw him interceptions in practice.
That's...
is that mean? No, that's probably mean.
It's not really mean. To me, the way I look at it is that Marcus Williams was a great corner in the Tampa 2 system and has unbelievable ball skills. Extremely talented. You know, you make the claim his game speed is faster than his 40 time, which he just didn't run a good 40, and he may not be as fast as we thought he was. He's valuable in different areas, but here's the thing working against him, before you get to your point.
Sure.
But here's the thing working against him is that he's got to be more physical in the NFL because they're going to ask him to do one-on-one coverages. In a cover two system, you can kind of hide some deficiencies, like being non-physical with the receiver because you pass him on to a zone or you kind of let him float a little bit. In the NFL, you can't do that.
And coaches are better. And they will, if they see that, man, they're gonna throw pitches out that way. They're gonna start throwing swing passes into your zone. And all of a sudden, you're going to have Adrian Peterson. You're going to have the Arian Fosters, I guess.
Or tight ends.
Team. Yeah, or
big tight ends,
start
too.
Get some of those tight ends. We're just going to flare those out. Take your best shot, buddy.
Right.
You know,
and we've talked about it many times on this podcast, and Marcus Williams just was not a physical corner.
Yeah.
He wasn't like he shied away from contact. He just...
Which he did.
He did. I didn't see it so much in his senior year as I did in his junior. But
he at least had some moments his senior year.
But he's not a solid tackler. That's working against him. What's working for him is the way the NFL is going. With the evolution of a passing game in the NFL and it becoming the most prevalent thing that offenses feature nowadays, let's pass 65-70% of the time, you're going to need depth at corner.
Yes.
And because of that, bodies will be needed. So the chances are a little bit better for Williams to make a club than I would say Jensen, just in the fact that the positions are different.
I would agree.
However, I like Shepherd over Williams because he's faster. And he's proven to be more of a physical player.
Okay.
And his position was different. He played safety, but he also played up on the line quite a few times. Kind of played that
Colton
Eagle.
He would play a nickelback.
Yeah, he'd play a nickelback here and there. Played safety, but he could bring the wood. He can hit, and he can be physical. And I think that is something that can work in short yardage situations against bigger guys like tight ends or bigger receivers. Frankly, I think he's more physical than Williams. I think that plays well and better in the NFL. That's why I think I like him better than Williams to stay on, and I think he will.
You know, that's a good case, and that's a really good argument for that. I would, if I was to make an argument against it, and I'm not sure if I even believe this, but I'll preface it by saying that. But I a lot of the physicalness has been taken out of the game.
This is true.
I mean. You know, the ball skills are something that are a little bit better suited for this game because there's only so much physicality that you can have at this point. You know, you've only got certain areas that you can hit, and granted, Shepard's going to be better at all of that than Williams, but there's more of a premium on being able to make big plays and being able to cover, and I think he was better at that than Shepard was, because Shepard, they played a little bit of a goofy spot because Hegel would come in and he was basically the nickelback, But when he came in for the nickelback, he went into safety and they moved Hegel up to corner. And right. if they went 4-3, if they went their base D, then he'd stay on the sidelines and they'd put Hegel back at the safety spot. So he you know, a little bit of a hybrid position there, like you mentioned. So that's a point in his favor. But it also is, well, he was a backup.
He was. And I think that a lot of the reason he got drafted was because of that speed. He ran the fastest 40 time at his pro day at NDSU. It was a 4.3
yeah.
something or another, and which is impressive.
Yeah, and that can get you signed, but a 40 time doesn't get you a contract.
Right.
So we'll see. I'm going to
well,
say...
on a regular season roster, which I think is
exactly.
what I'm getting at here,
yes.
is that does he make, what is it, 55?
The 50, 53.
53-man roster when it comes to regular season. So I guess it kind of transfers into my next question, transitions into is, are you more surprised that Brian Shepard actually got looked at by the Washington football team, or are you surprised that Billy Turner went as high as he did?
I was a little surprised on Turner, not a lot. And there's really no reason that I should have been that surprised because, I mean, he's been on every all-conference list and all-American teams forever in his career. So that's probably me for being surprised that he got to third. I was kind of thinking fourth, fifth was more likely where he'd end up. But third, I'm a little, but not a lot. We hadn't talked about Shepard at all.
No, we hadn't.
That one probably surprised me more just because, and again, that might have been us, but we hadn't talked about him. I hadn't even, I really had not given any thoughts to Brian Shepard's prospect, so good for him.
Well, I don't know if a lot of people did because, again, like you said, he was a backup for the majority of his time at NDSU, and some of that had to do with the fact that, you know, what do you do with the guy? He probably wasn't that good in coverage. Made yeah. more sense by the fact that he was a backup at safety, and he's not big enough to be a linebacker.
Yeah, but and here's the thing, and you know he's a football player.
Yeah,
and if you're a really good football
generic
player,
sounder for that football
yeah,
player,
football player. He is in the National Football League. He's just a really good football player, and you can move him around a little bit.
Yeah.
And those guys, if you're good enough, those guys will at least get looks, and a lot of times find homes. When okay, you mean this guy can I can use him one, two places? You know what? It's like a utility guy in baseball. You got to have one on the bench that I can use in a couple of different spots just in case. And you know those kind of Swiss Army knife type players. It's good to have.
He could be using a pinch in special teams.
Yeah,
is
absolutely.
Another thing.
That, absolutely.
Both with Williams and Shepard, that can be used to their advantage. For Shepard on the defensive side, a guy that's willing to stick his nose in something and make a tackle. With Williams,
a little more on the return side.
You got a guy who's safe in that aspect. He's done returns and he's very good at returning kicks. Has been. So I'd have to agree with you that the Shepard signing did surprise me because I didn't expect it to happen. But, you know, Billy Turner and the fact the Dolphins traded up 14 picks to get him, and we read Grantland stuff a lot,
yep.
regardless who the contributor it is, and I looked online today, and Bill Barnwell, who writes extensively about the NFL.
Yes, extensively.
Talked about the five worst draft trades that he saw.
Was that one of them?
And that was the fifth one.
Okay.
And the reason he said it is because there's this whole theory that goes into teams trading down in order to get picks.
Yep.
And it probably based on free agent signings and money and all this other stuff, but it also based on the fact that you shouldn't have to reach for a guy and give up something where you can have picks, you know, say later, where teams will give up a couple rounds to move up
yep.
14 picks,
yep.
so to speak. Essentially, I think Miami and Oakland flip-flop. And what he said was that he felt Miami reached to go up that high to get Billy Turner.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that might speak a lot to where they had him on the board, but they might have been the only ones that had him that high on the board.
And here's the thing, and that's the thing that the draft guys talk about, and it's and in some ways trying to equate fantasy drafts and real drafts is a really dumb thing to do. But at some point, it's like, you know what? If he's your guy and you think he's going to be really good, go get him. Even
yeah.
if it's even if some people are going to say it's a reach, if he's your guy and you like him, you know what? Go get him. And then if he turns out and he becomes a starter, then nobody's going to, you know, nobody cares. This is kind of the post-draft fodder that you and I kind of salivate over and that a lot of fans really enjoy seeing of who had a good or a bad draft. Right now, nobody has any clue who had a good or a right. bad draft. And the only thing that's going to matter is, guess what? If he's starting week one or even week eight, if he gets in there and he does a solid job, then that's all that matters. Just if he's your guy, go get him. We'll talk a little bit about that with the Vikings. If he's your guy, go get him.
I'm happy that Billy Turner got to go third round, and I'm excited to see how things work out for him. And, again, they talk about bloodlines. Well, his dad was in the NFL. There's something to genetics, obviously.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
I think it's his half-brother, or I'm not sure. I know it's a brother through blood that's in the NFL. It has been for a while, and, of course, I don't have the name in front of me, unfortunately. But his father was in the NFL for a couple years. Again, Billy Turner's going to have a shot to start with the Dolphins, and I think he would have had a shot whether he'd been drafted in the middle of the third round or early in the fourth, just because he's a guy that's proven he can play above his level. And unfortunately for him, again, this is probably a knock at the level that NDSU plays in. If he's playing at the University of Minnesota, he probably goes a little bit higher.
Sure.
But he's playing at NDSU, and that's what they look at.
And here's another thing, too, and I've kind of been unplugged for the weekend and haven't really taken a look at a lot of things, but Miami Dolphins offensive line is a real interesting situation to be going into. I don't know if anybody's talked about that angle or not, but interesting spot with what happened last year, Jonathan Martin, Richie Incognito, and now, you know, stepping in there. So there's been a little bit of a roller coaster on that team at that position, and for an incoming rookie who's pretty mature and by all accounts a pretty good dude, that might be a pretty good opportunity for him.
Brian Keel is his brother,
okay,
according to MiamiDolphins.com, which was something that was kind of underplayed a little bit. I mean, we talked about it a little bit on the podcast about his dad anyways, but good bloodlines there. I think Billy Turner is going to be just fine. We got to do this on the podcast locally.
Yeah.
Got to give a shout out, Danny. Let's give it a clap. NDSU softball team winning the Summit League tournament title. Again, they'll play Auburn in the Minneapolis regional. Yeah. Again, this is something we've talked about before. NDSU's athletic department is not just men's basketball and football. You've got a great track program. You've got Amy Anderson, who's on the LPGA tour, was an NDSU golfer, and then you've got this softball team, which has made the NCAA tournament and has had success in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, made the Super Regionals.
Previous years, yeah. They're very good.
Very good. Can I give a radio shout-out?
Yeah. Hey. Oh, of course. Yeah, go ahead.
Candy S is going to be covering the event. So our alma mater, the NDSU student station, it sounds like going to be the official radio station of the regional down there. So,
oh, fun.
Yeah, so
well, good
I just heard
them.
From our sports director today, so excited for that. But, if you want to, in between catching all the wonderful programming on 740 The Fan and 790 KFGO, if you want to check out the Bison softball, got a chance to get a chance to be played there. So it'll be great to have him on the air here.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be good. So good job, NDSU softball. Give them a shout out. And we are going to move on to
regional.
All right. Minnesota Vikings, NFL draft. I don't really care about the other rounds.
Okay.
I really don't. Perfect. So let's concentrate on the first one. Vikings had two picks in the first round.
Well, ended up with two picks in the first round. Made two picks, yes.
Drafted 9 and 32nd overall.
Yes.
Took Anthony Barr from the University of California, Los Angeles, UCLA, more commonly known, at 9, outside linebacker, and then took Teddy Bridge under Troubled Waters, over Troubled Waters, over Troubled
Thank
Waters.
You. Thank you, Chris Berman.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
That's going to be the most overused Chris Bermanism
yes.
ever. At 32, the quarterback from the University of Louisville.
Yep.
Did you like it? I mean, thoughts on the first round for the Minnesota Vikings? Because I think fans are generally happy.
Yeah, I'll go back to Billy Turner. If he was your guy, he's who you thought you liked what you saw with him, you thought he was going to be good, then you know what? Go get your guy. You got some help on defense. Desperately needed. Desperately. We've talked about that a lot on the podcast here as well. So you get a guy up at the top of the first round to shore up that, and then to come back in. And if you think Bridgewater is going to be the guy, then you know what? Go get him. Here's his kiss of death is he's been the guy that I would had hoped the Vikings had ended up with all along. And I am historically terrible at predicting who's going to be good coming out of a draft. So, I mean, I I was glad to see it because I thought that was the guy that they should go get. I thought he was the he played well in the games. He was highly touted right away, and supposedly, and who knows, and this whole, you know, rising and falling thing is all media driven because
very much so.
Because, and I liked the story I heard on the Dan Patrick show this last week about the first round, and there was a reporter who was talking to a guy I think it was Peter King was talking to a guy with one of the teams, and Peter King was asking him about a couple of guys. He was about to get to, it was Jacksonville. He's talking to Jacksonville and said, I was talking to a guy who was going to ask about Blake Bortles. And right before I asked about Bortles, the guy said, hang on, I'm getting another call. I have to go, and hung up the phone. And Peter said, you didn't have another phone call, did you? The guy said, no, I just didn't want to lie to you. There's another guy that Peter King said, who he talked to after the draft. He said, yes, I've been lying to everybody. I mean, there's no reason. So as far as how a player rises or falls on the draft board, it's all media driven. We just don't know any of that is true.
Right.
But consistently coming into the season, people thought he was the highest rated guy, and he had a bad pro day. Big freaking deal.
Right. But evidently, it allowed him to drop that far.
But that's the thing, is we don't know. And,
well, yeah, no,
because
okay.
He may have been, you know what? He may have been a late first round, early second round pick all the way through by the scouts and the people that are actually paid to do that and make the selections for the team.
So basically what you're saying is don't believe anything that anybody writes about the NFL draft beforehand.
Yes. Yes.
I like it.
I mean...
No, I agree with you that if he's there, you go get him. I think it was, I like the aggression. I said that. I like going, okay, he's there. We're not going to wait.
He's
Let's
your
go
guy,
get him.
Same thing with Billy Turner. If you think he's your guy, and especially at that spot too, when the Texans might be in the market for a quarterback at
right.
the top of that second round, go get him.
Yep.
If you think he's your guy, go get him.
And they didn't reach. I don't feel like they did. They got him at a good spot. And they're in a good situation. This is different than what it was like with Christian Ponder. Because when they got Christian Ponder, they didn't know what they were going to get with Donovan McNabb.
Yeah, and they thought, and with Christian Ponder, it seemed like panic. Oh, quarterback Locker's gone. Other quarterback's gone. Ponder, we need a quarterback.
Yeah, it was Jake Locker and Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah.
And guess who drafted a quarterback at number 5? Or number 3, I should say. Jacksonville.
Yeah, Jacksonville.
Yeah. Yeah. So... there's a lot of reaching 2 years ago when it comes to quarterbacks. Locker, Gabbert, Ponder, and now they've learned their lesson, and Bridgewater was there. I liked it. I think Anthony Barr, the one thing I noticed on Twitter on Thursday night, I didn't watch the draft because I don't watch the draft. Why am I going to spend time watching a guy read names? It boggles my mind.
That's fair.
I noticed on Twitter, though, Manziel gets passed up by the Browns at 8. And then Twitter's just like, oh, we got to get Johnny. We got to get football. We got to get Manziel. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And they didn't get him. And it was freak out.
And I believe I had one of my friends, Andrea, who texted me. One of the best hashtags she'd seen in a while was something like before Manziel gets drafted or something like that. And then a bunch of things that were going to happen before Manziel get drafted. Apparently, Twitter had a lot of fun with him.
Oh,
following.
Yeah, absolutely. And I tweeted out there. Somewhat sarcastically, but somewhat seriously, and I hope this happens. I said, I hope Viking fans remember how upset they were when Anthony Barr becomes an all-pro and Johnny Manziel's out of the league in 3 years. I mean...
it's possible.
It is. Anthony Barr, they're worried because he didn't play linebacker that long. He's only been at it 2 years, and he's a project.
Yeah. Listen, Manziel could be Favre and he could be Tebow.
He could be. He really could be. You know? There's... nothing about him. He's not an Andrew Luck type where you go and look at him and go, okay, there's so many good things about this guy. And the Andrew Lucks of the world are few and far between.
Yeah.
And so is RG3s and Russell Wilson's. It's a very much let's roll the dice and see what we come up with here. You're not 100% positive everything's going to work out. There are things that happen you just have no control over. So, Anthony Barr, I hope it works out for him.
Yeah.
I like the pick. I like the aggression. And, you know, I think because of his athleticism, this is the thing that I talked about. Who's a playmaker on this Vikings defense? I mean, they need one. They had Jaren Allen at defensive end. He'd come up with sacks. He's gone. They don't really have one, playmaker-wise. Anthony Barr is going to be that way. Chad Greenway is the most sound defensive player they have. Has been for a couple of years because the guy just gets tackles. You don't get tackles by just being okay fundamentally. You get tackles because you're a good football player. Yeah, fundamentals play a part into it, but you're great athleticism. I mean, you've got a lot of things going for you. Chad Greenway, most underrated, one of the most underrated defensive players in the league. With that being said, he's not a playmaker in the sense where he can blitz as a linebacker and he can get into the backfield and cause a lot of trouble. That's where Barr comes in. That's why I liked the selection at 9. Now, done with that. Still Vikings news, though. There's talk of Adrian Peterson. Maybe not. Well, he might have been shot around. He might have not. There's reports out there that he was. Doesn't matter. We're going to go with say he was.
Sure, why not?
Well, let's play the game.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that mindset that they should get rid of AP?
I agree with the mindset that they should explore any and all options. When you are, I think of that for any team, but especially when you're a team that's as not good and has as many holes as the Vikings do, I don't, it's kind of one of those things where maybe you put it out there, you don't say, call teams and say, hey, will you give us this, this, and this for Adrian Peterson? But you kind of somehow make it known that, well, you know, if somebody called us about him, we'd listen. I don't have a problem with that. When you're bad, you listen to everything. When you're good, I think you can afford to be a little more selective. The good teams still listen and try to get better. But when you're bad, you listen to everything. As far as the actual strategy behind trading him, do we really think that with how many ever miles that he's got left on him that the Vikings are going to be really, really good? And by that, I mean like, you know, contender to win the NFC, to make the Super Bowl. Do we really think that they're going to do that with what, year or two of prime that AP has left?
No, I don't think they will.
In that case, I mean, if he's got any value whatsoever, and if I was a GM, I wouldn't be looking at him, but if he's got value, if you can find someone that wants him and is willing to pay a hefty price for him, I mean, I don't really have a problem with going down that road.
The best time to have traded him would have been 2012, after that season.
Yeah.
Where he went for 2,097 yards. And to me, the reason being is that everybody's going, oh, man, how good is Adrian Peterson? He's a game changer if we get him on our team. You're starting to realize now that running backs are no longer what they once were. Adrian Peterson is a dying breed at this point in the NFL.
Yeah.
And he's getting on the backside of his career. And he's a physical running back, and I could keep going on and on and on. So to say, well, you should have traded him after 2012 would have been ludicrous, and Viking fans would have just tried to take Spielman out at the knees and at the head and everywhere else. But that would have been the best time where you could have gotten teams going, I could use an Adrian Peterson.
Here's the thing, though. You thought the Vikings were still good at that point.
I did, too. I truly did.
So at that point, so from that line of thinking, I thought they were bad, and the only reason that they had the season that they did was because he had one of the greatest seasons in the history of the league for a running back.
Right, he did.
So, coming off of a 10-6 season when you're thinking, oh, maybe Ponder gets better, and you couldn't have done it then. You really couldn't have.
You couldn't have. It would have been the best time.
It would have been the best time, but that's not, I don't even know that it's feasible to go down that line of thinking because it just, I mean, it's just, there's no way you would have done that. There's no way.
Yeah.
This year, though, now it's a little more realistic. And I think you at least explore it, but here's the thing. You know, all the reasons that we just said, who's going to trade and say, you know what, we're going to take that cap hit. We're going to take that salary on at a dying breed position. What team's going to do that?
He is due in 2014, $11.75 million.
Yeah.
In 2015, $12.75 million. 2016, $14.75 million.
Well,
2017,
but I mean, whatever. $16.75.
How much of
that's
guaranteed? I don't know how much is
guaranteed,
right. I think a lot in the last 2 years is not guaranteed cash.
Here's maybe the better question. Is Adrian Peterson on the Vikings roster at the start of the 2016 season?
At the new stadium. That's a great question.
Thank you.
Because he's your guy that right now, if we look at it right now, and we don't have a telescope into the future, we look at it and go, he's the reason I'm going to come to a Viking game at this point. But again, it's 2014. In 2 years, is he going to be the guy? Is he going to be the reason? Maybe Teddy Bridgewater's the reason. Maybe Patterson's the reason. Maybe the defense has built up
enough,
and
they're
because
they're actually winning games. Maybe they don't need a reason. Maybe it's just they're winning, and that's
right.
Reason.
I still believe that he'll be on the team, not because they haven't tried to get rid of him, but because they can't get rid of him.
I believe he'll be cut. I believe they will not pay him that money, and they will cut him.
I think that he's going to have... Because
nobody sticks around for those last 2 years of a contract.
No, truly, they
nobody
they,
does.
They don't, but here's what I'm thinking, is that Peterson's still going to have good years in the next 2 years.
Yep.
Because the Vikings' offense is not going to reach a point where they can throw as much as everybody else. They're going to like to, but they can't get to a point where they're the Philadelphia Eagles or the Denver Broncos.
We don't think so, no.
So they're still going to use Peterson, and he's still the best back in the league. And I still think he's going to have a good
couple.
Will
he be at that point, though?
Yeah, I still believe he will be.
2 years, man.
Again, 29, he'll be 31.
Running backs hit the wall there.
He'll be 30. Let's see. Next year he'll be 30. He'll be 31 in 2016.
Oof.
I am in full belief this guy's a freak of nature. Okay, so
there's a lot of theory. There's a lot of evidence to support that particular theory.
The age concept to me is kind of it's something in the back of my mind where I'm going, well, yeah, he's 31, but he also ran for 2,000 yards after tearing his ACL to shreds.
That's true.
So
I still maintain there's PEDs involved with that, but we're not going down that road. I don't know if we have the podcast in 2016.
That's true.
I'd be willing to make that a wager, though.
I'd be willing to make that a wager, too.
Okay, all right. At the start of the 2016 season that Adrian Peterson is not in a Vikings uniform.
And I think he will be.
Lock it in.
Okay, it's locked in. We may never get to it, but it's locked in.
That might be the biggest, that might be the secondary wager. Will we still be doing a podcast in 2016?
Yeah, that's a secondary wager that goes under it. So, good question. It's one of those topics that's a talk radio topic, but
yes.
We're a
podcast.
That's
what we are. So.
That's what we do here. Yeah. All right. We're going to move on from there and go to
National.
All right. Speaking of Johnny Manziel, the NFL draft, were you surprised at where Johnny Manziel went? Not only the overall pick, which it was 22nd, I believe, but the team he went to as well, which was the Cleveland Browns.
You know what's really funny about that? And I'm sure, and I assume that this got passed around the internet plenty. Pick number 22 in the first round to the Cleveland Browns, Brandon Whedon.
Yes.
Also, pick number 22 in the first round to the Cleveland Browns, Brady Quinn. And now at least it's a low bar for him to clear. So, I mean, he's got that going for him. But am I surprised? Not overly. I thought he would go earlier, but it didn't surprise me that he fell because it happens. It happens all the time. Every year there's somebody that happens to. You know, we can rattle off any number of guys who just kind of tumbled and tumbled and tumbled. And you know what? It's the way it goes.
I'm looking at some of the teams that passed up on him and then maybe drafted quarterbacks a little bit later, and I don't know. I have to look.
Oof,
quick.
That would take more.
Well, yeah, they did. I was thinking of the Titans. The teams that I looked at that maybe would take them would be, you know, I've got this button going on here too crazy. There it is. I figured the Titans might take them, the Vikings and the Browns.
Yeah.
Early on.
I didn't think that.
Jacksonville maybe because they.
Bortles happened to be their guy. Yeah. But yeah, they might have.
So they went with him. We kind of knew what Houston, St. Louis were going to do. Buffalo, the Sammy Watkins pickup, which. Sammy Watkins is one of those guys that a lot of teams had high on their board.
Yeah.
Oakland went with a linebacker, which I thought was a solid choice. The Falcons went with Matthews. Mike Evans, another wideout. You see the trend.
Yeah.
But, you know, Tennessee to me was a team I thought would go after him. Dallas, I think, was a made-up
yes,
bit.
Absolutely.
Because he's from Texas at the Cowboys, and how crazy
and
would
Jerry
it be?
Jones, yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, made-up. Yeah, no. That was a media-driven one.
Yes, it was. And my Cowboys went after an offensive lineman and then proceeded to get defensive players every single pick except one there on out, which I thought that's what they should have done. They need to protect the investment of Romo and then build defense. They did what I thought they should do. Good draft for them. I'll just say that.
Okay.
Titans went with an offensive tackle instead in that first round. Again, the Dolphins had already chosen their quarterback, or they hadn't, and there was another team that I thought maybe they go a little higher, but they're still sold on Tannehill. He isn't that far removed.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's Cleveland again at 22 going, all right, the next other teams that could come up here, I mean, Minnesota could trade back in. Houston could trade back in if they're so inclined. Why not? We gotta get something here. Arizona, maybe even.
Yep. So, no, we'll see what happens with him. I don't have high hopes for him. I don't. You know, I hope he plays some just because he makes the game fun.
He does.
And so, you know, I hope he plays. I hope he does well, because if he does well, his brand of football means it's probably going to be really entertaining. I don't think he will, though.
The most viewed team in the first 6 weeks of 8 weeks, I should say, of the NFL season is going to be Cleveland Browns.
If he starts.
Oh, he'll start. I think he will start.
We'll see. I mean, the name, it's not exactly a name in front of him. You're not suckering me into a wager here if that's what's going through your head.
It's not going through my mind. I'm just thinking of the...
I mean, it's Brian Hoyer, I think, is the name. So it's not exactly, you know, it's not exactly a legend that he's got to overtake, but...
I'm just looking at the conferences that drafted in the first round. 11 players from the SEC drafted in the first round. The next closest was the ACC. They had 5.
Yeah.
Then the Big Ten. The American, it's the SEC just doing work.
Yep.
49 players from the SEC. FCS had 19 players go. The Missouri Valley had 3.
Yeah.
Tyler Starr, University of South Dakota, went second to last pick in the NFL draft. He was almost Mr. Irrelevant. Yeah. But yeah, Johnny
Manziel. Actually, he's more irrelevant than Mr. Irrelevant.
Yes, if you could say that, yeah. I think Johnny Manziel is going to move the needle. Move the dial, if you will. He's going to get viewers. He's going to do a lot of things at Cleveland.
And then it's just going to come down. Is he good?
Yep. That's why I say the first 8 weeks are going to be huge. That's, again, another reason I was surprised some teams passed on him. Because you're going, Jacksonville really needs some money. You know? And again, I'm telling you, I know we've talked about it before, but that's how I think about it. Because the bottom line is making money.
Yeah, but the way to make the most money is to build a winner. And if you don't think the guy is going to be good, you don't use a first-round pick on him.
That's the problem you have right there, though. Build. You don't have much time to build anything in the NFL anymore. Ponder's been in the league. Ponder, Locker, Gabbert. Yep. How long they been in the league?
3 years.
3 years. They've struggled.
Yep.
No doubt about it.
Yep.
But they've only had 3 years. Only. That's it. They haven't had 5. They haven't had 7. Well, 7 might be much, but they haven't had 5. And again, football is a what have you done for me now type of thing. In baseball, pitchers can survive on struggling for like 5 years until they're like, you know. Again, this is a sport that you look at and you just don't get that many shots. And I get there's a more sample size when it comes to baseball and other sports, but in football, it's a very small, hey, they played 16 games and they're really bad. All right, we're done. It's the same thing, though, if you flip it around and go, man, he had a great rookie season. He's the next thing, the next big thing.
Yeah. To me, it's you take the players that you think are going to win games. If you don't think Johnny Manziel's that guy, don't draft him. I mean,
I agree with you. But again, to me, it's that money. And Johnny Manziel, you can't see it right now, but that's his sign. That's his thing. Another one, a little bit of a deeper conversation.
Sure, because we're known for that.
Yeah. Michael Sam, the first openly gay player to be drafted into the NFL, was drafted in the 7th round by the St. Louis Rams, and then there was a personal display of affection with his boyfriend on ESPN. He shown getting the phone call from the Rams and breaking down and crying on the video, and then he embraces and kisses his boyfriend, and it seemed that people were upset about this. And the first question I have for you, Brett, does that bother you at all? Does that make you look at him as any less of a football player or anything like that? I mean,
I honestly don't care either. I mean, I don't. And I brought up to you when we talked about this, I brought up the NBA draft from a couple years ago with Jan Vesely and his extremely attractive, very tall girlfriend who was in the draft, where they kind of had their little moment there as well.
And yeah.
I guess I don't know that I feel that much different about that than I did it. Good for you.
Yeah. Get a life, people.
Thank you.
Seriously. Okay. If you're
That's the less polite way to put it.
Yes.
Yeah, I like
if
it.
If you're so upset about this, it's dumb. You're just being stupid.
Turn the channel.
One thing that I think will be something I will watch for is if there's some added pressure from the St. Louis Rams to keep Sam because of what he represents. Now, he's made it to the point where he's been drafted into the NFL.
Yeah.
But he still has a long way to actually make the roster. I mean, you're a seventh round pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's still no guarantee. Is there some concern from the Rams because they look at this and go, he represents a lot to the homosexual community and the fact that he's the first openly gay football player, most popular sport in America? He represents something. Do you think, and it's tough to answer this, but do you think there might be some added pressure for him to stick around?
I think there will be some pressure put on the organization from different groups, rightly or wrongly. And in that case, I would probably say wrongly. Look, if he can, and this is, I think, one of the great things about sports is, guess what? If he can play, if he's going to help a team win games, he's going to stick around. If he can't play, he's going to be out of the league. And I really, maybe I'm a little idealistic there, but I really think that's what it's going to come down to.
And I hope it's that cut and dry. I really don't.
You disagree.
Well, I don't see it being that cut and dry because with these things, you're dealing with emotions. You're dealing with emotions regardless, but you're going to find a guy, in all honesty, here's how I see it going. If he does get cut, there's going to be somebody out there that makes the mention of,
oh, sure.
You know, well, he got cut because
he's
gay.
But here's the thing. It's either way, because then you're going to say, then there's going to be people who are going to say, well, if he makes the roster,
somebody else got cut
and they kept him because he's gay.
Exactly.
And so, I mean, they're in really a no-win situation in that sense. And hopefully it's, you know what? We think this guy, when we weighed what the talent that was left in the draft and what our need areas were, this guy matched up with them best. If he can play, then he's going to be on the roster. If he can't play, he's going to be cut.
Here's the thing that I hope happens is that he makes the team and that somebody comes out there and says, well, don't you think he'd be a distraction to this team because of his lifestyle? And I hope somebody fires back with, how is he any more of a distraction than Ray Rice? Or how is he any more of a distraction than Ray Lewis? How is he any more of a distraction than Josh Gordon? How is he any more distraction of all these guys who go out and do all these horrible things on and off the field, whatever they may be, yet we pay them tons of money and turn on the TV to watch them because they're talented.
Yep.
He's talented enough to make the team and a discussion. That's what it should be.
And
I hope that's how it goes.
I really think. I really think it will. I really do.
I hope it goes that way. Okay. Our favorite topic.
Yes.
We've been loving NBA talk.
Yes, we have.
Oh, by the way, Minnesota Wild, they'll be going to game 6. They're going to lose game 6, and that's going to be the end of that. And I'm not saying that in any wrong way. I'm actually into this series. I've been watching most of the games. Watch game 4, watch game 5, both in their entirety. The Blackhawks are a better team. The Wild, they didn't get lucky by winning 3 and 4. They actually outplayed Chicago and did outplay them last night, but I just don't think they beat the Blackhawks. So there's my Minnesota Wild mention. We should have got to a regional, but we're getting international. NBA playoffs. We'll start with your Indiana Pacers. They're not yours. They're ours collectively as a group. We want the Indiana Pacers to get to the conference semis.
Sure.
Why? Because Roy Hibbert goes fishing to clear his mind. Have the Pacers righted the ship in your mind, Brad? The Wizards in that first game, it looked like, oh, here we go again. It's going to be a struggle. But did everything get righted?
Did everything get righted? I don't know. We'll see until the next game. I mean, that really kind of seems to be the way it goes with Indiana. But I told you even after they won the first game that I thought Washington won the first game, I thought Indiana would win the series. And I'm sticking with that. I don't know. I have high hopes. I hope they do because I want to see if that Miami series does end up being the battle that we all hoped it would coming into the playoffs. So I'm gonna say I don't know. They seem to have a really goofy personality switch, but I want to see that matchup. I want to see Indiana Miami.
I do too, in the worst way, because after this first round, there was so many great matchups, so many great games, so many great series, and we got a little bit spoiled because these conference semifinals have been, they have been a little lackluster. Not a lot of drama going on.
Except for OKC, Clippers.
With Serge Ibaka and Blake Griffin, just give them boxing gloves and just let them go. I mean, wow, those two.
Yeah.
But we'll get into that in a second. I think the Pacers have righted the ship. I think things, whether it was a mental switch or whatever, things just changed for Roy Hibbert after that 0-0 performance in game 1 or game 2. I can't remember. Things just changed. The guys turning around. I think the Pacers are looking better. And I think part of that, too, is Paul George has just said, all right, here we go, and get on my back, which he has to. He's the superstar of the team. I also believe that Miami's going to just kind of kick the Nets to the side here eventually. You know, they're hanging on. They're both built around veterans. But, you know, LeBron James and the Heat are just better.
Yep.
And so I think the Nets are going to lose two more, and that's going to be it. How dominant have the Spurs been? I mean, Portland hasn't even shown up on the same court. I mean, they have, you know, just to throw out five guys. Yeah. But the Spurs have been just so good.
They're just so efficient. If you like basketball, and people who complain about the NBA, if you want to just watch a team that's just really good, that moves the ball, that, I mean, if you can get past Tim Duncan's eyes bugging out if he ever gets a foul called on him, yeah. Otherwise, they are just so good to watch. Their ball movement. Tony Parker is just he's a maestro out there. It's almost not fair.
So that leads us to the OKC Clippers series, which has been thoroughly entertaining. Big comeback last night by the Clippers, down 16 in the fourth quarter, come all the way back to win it. And, you know, Serge Ibaka and Blake Griffin, my goodness. I think Serge took a nice little shot at the lower midsection of Blake Griffin, if we will.
Yep.
These two have been fun. Yeah. These two teams have just been fun.
This is probably the most fun series that we'll have left of any in the playoffs.
Oh, I don't agree with that in the least.
Really?
I don't. Because I think if OKC can pull this out, I think that series against San Antonio will be as fun.
I think it'll be good, but just from a pure, it's not going to be the scoring bonanza that we've seen. And that's what I mean by fun.
Oh, okay.
I think either of these two teams against San Antonio, I think it's going to be really entertaining. I think it's going to be really good, but I don't know that it'll just be from a up and down and as many just great athletes as there are on the floor.
Oh yeah.
I don't think we'll have another series like that the rest of the playoffs as far as from that standpoint.
Who's winning this series? It's 1-1-1 now. I mean, basically, you've got a three-game series coming up.
Yeah, I said OKC at the home court advantage is gone.
Well, I mean, it's
I would say it's more important
it's,
now.
It's been equalized in the sense that they've both won on each other's home court.
Yeah, so I mean, it's so still the home court advantage belongs to OKC because they have two games left at home and the Clippers have one that gives them an advantage. I think it's pretty common. I don't think it's much more often when you have two really good teams play where they split, at both teams split at home. So, I picked OKC at the beginning of the series and I didn't feel great about it, and I'm going to do that again. I'm going to pick OKC, but I don't feel great about it.
I like OKC as well because something about Kevin Durant
and him being really really good.
Yeah, that too.
That yeah.
That might be it. I also don't think the Clippers are ready.
That's fair.
You know, this is the second year they're in the playoffs now in a row. Doc Rivers is a great coach. He's proven that time and time again, but I think they're one more year away.
Okay, that's fair.
So I like OKC in that series. Now, Miami, Indiana. I think we're both in agreement that that's going to happen. San Antonio, Miami. Do you see that happening? That's a far-out forecast. What now?
Yeah,
that's a far-out forecast.
Yeah.
Yeah. But would you rather? Boy, that was a fun game in high school.
I would rather have OKC.
Yeah, in the finals?
Yes, I would rather have LeBron and Durant just go at it.
I think the NBA would rather have LeBron and Durant.
I agree, but I think it'll be San Antonio.
And it will be. And, you know, that series last year was so unbelievable as well. But again, you're talking about a Miami Heat market where it's fair weather fans to the extreme.
Yes.
And then you're talking about a San Antonio market that is not fair weather fans, but nobody cares.
And people are bored.
Yeah.
Well, nobody outside of San Antonio cares. Yeah.
Because it's San Antonio. They go, well, what's so good about Tim Duncan? You know, the big fundamental. And that's the problem. He's fundamental as heck, and he's the greatest power forward in the history of the NBA.
Yes.
I think we can all agree on that. So, yeah, it's to me, yes. I'd like to see OKC Miami, but I think it's going to be San Antonio, Miami. Okay. Marcus from Mayville. Hang on. Let me find my sound here. Oh, I got a new sounder.
Really?
First, okay. I want you to listen to this and tell me what movie this is from.
No, and I don't care.
Oh, Jim Carrey. I can't. Liar Liar popped into my head, but I don't think that's right.
Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber.
All right, let's get to it.
You've got mail.
Okay. Thank you, guy. Marcus from Mayville leads a comment under the comment section, says, we were talking about the 2003 NBA draft last podcast, goes, he'll raise us the 1996 NBA draft. Throws out some of the names that were in there. Allen Iverson, Ray Allen, Stephon Marbury, Steve Nash, Kobe Bryant, Ben Wallace, Jermaine O'Neal, Antonio Walker, Sharif Abdul-Rahim.
Antonio Walker, is that what you just said?
Antoine Walker.
There you go.
Pardon me. Peja Stojakovic.
Yes.
Zadrunas Ilgauskas, Derek Fisher, and Marcus Camby.
Yeah.
All right. What? This is so, I mean, there's so many things we can unpack here. Just to give you an idea, I'll say this. The 2003 NBA draft was better when it comes to your top 10 picks,
here's the thing. And yes, yeah, but if you're not just looking at the picks, but if you're looking at the players, because I was, in comparing the two, I see four surefire Hall of Famers in each of the draft.
In the first top 10?
No, just overall, throughout the draft. If we're looking at the body of the draft,
okay,
you've got LeBron, you've got...
In 03.
Yeah, in 03, you've got LeBron, Bosh, Wade, and Anthony.
You think Bosh is going to be a Hall of Famer?
I think so. I think the numbers are going to be surprising by the time he gets done.
Okay.
I think he's going to play a long time. He doesn't take a lot of hits. He scores well, he rebounds well. I think people, the numbers are just going to be there, and so are the number of titles.
Okay.
So I think by that virtue, I think he's going to get there. And then you have Iverson.
Yes.
Ray Allen.
Yes.
Kobe Bryant and Steve Nash.
Yes, I'd agree.
Okay.
And those are spread out through the first 15.
Yes.
The guys you listed were in the first five.
Sure. But again, I'm throwing out the draft picks. I'm throwing out the numbers. I'm looking at the players, because I think that's what Marcus is getting at, is let's just look at the players that were in that draft, not necessarily their order.
Okay, that's a fair argument.
So I mean, and then he's got a good point, because when you're looking at that next tier guys down, I mean, Marcus Camby was in the league. I mean, he still might be in the league. He's been around forever. Sharif Abdul-Rahim never made the playoffs, but was a good player, bad team kind of guy, put up good numbers.
Kerry Kittles
was a starting shooting guard on an NBA Finals team. It was decent.
Peja Stojakovic.
He's got an outside shot at the Hall of Fame, I think.
Jermaine O'Neal's been around
Marbury
forever.
Even was really good. Jermaine O'Neal, I think, has an outside shot at the Hall of Fame because, I mean, he's just compiled numbers.
Ilgauskas,
again, I'll put up a lot of numbers. Derek Fisher.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of guys that have put up good numbers there. And I think that second tier in that group is a little stronger than the second tier in the 03 draft.
You really think so? Because I'm looking at this. I mean, I'm looking at the 03 draft, and some of these players are still around, but I'm looking at Kyle Korver,
but
Mo Williams.
The guys that you should be going to
Steve
in that
Blake.
Second group, see, those guys are all a little bit worse than that. Than the, I mean, would you take any of those guys over Peja Stojakovic or Jermaine O'Neal?
I'd take Mo Williams over Peja.
Oh, my friend, that is just false. Mo Williams over Peja Stojakovic? What has Mo Williams done when he's not been on LeBron James's team?
Scored.
Not much. Mo Williams, Peja averaged like 28 or 29 a game one year. He was third in the MVP voting one year. You're underrating Peja a little bit.
I might be.
So, you know, with, you know, you've got David West is probably your best second tier guy out of that group. It had a chance to be Josh Howard had he not smoked so much weed. There's a lot of guys that are still in NBA rotations in that 2003 draft, but I think I might side with Marcus. I think the 96 draft, I give it a slight edge.
Now you got me curious. There we go. That's what I wanted. All right, Mo Williams. Averaging 13.3 points for his career.
Yeah.
What's Page at?
Page's got to be close to 20. If not more. I mean, the dude just, you know, you kind of remember him a little bit as a shell of himself with the Hornets towards the end. Dude was good. You look at his peak years with Sacramento.
Boy, he looks young in that picture. Anyways, sorry, I got a little off track there. Guy averaged for his career 17 points a game. One point in the prime of his career from about 2000 to about, we'll say through 06, here's some of the numbers: 20.4, 21.2, 19.2, 24.2, 20.1, 19.6, 18.2. All right, I've been served. I was wrong. Yeah. Peja was good.
Peja was fun.
But, you know, I look at... That's tough. Yeah, okay. I don't know if I can argue because, you know, you look at those other second-tier guys, Boris Diaw.
Man, he's really... If he's in your second tier, that's not good. He's more a third-tier guy.
You know, Kirk Heinrich.
He's kind of also a third-tier guy.
Nick Collison.
Yeah, third-tier guy.
Mikhail Petras. Michael Petras.
Yeah, third-tier. Maybe even a little below that.
Yeah, that's a good point that he brings up there. But, let's look at first-tier guys then.
You got LeBron and Kobe are going to cancel each other out.
Yes.
Because
I think there's four from each. I think it's LeBron, Kobe, Ray, and...
Probably match up with Carmelo the best.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just those guys are pure scorers.
Yep. Steve Nash and...
D-Wade, probably.
Yep. I'd have to say that. And then your other guy, Allen Iverson.
Allen Iverson and Bosch.
Yeah.
You see, Allen Iverson's kind of the hammer with that.
And it's tough to look at each other and go, well, these two compare, because they're playing different positions.
Different positions.
But Ray Allen was, I think Ray Allen, Dwayne Wade are more that type, because Dwayne Wade carried a team to the NBA Finals by himself with really little to no talent outside of Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaq was still decent at that point. Shaq was still pretty good.
Dwayne Wade, if you remember that season and that playoff run that they had, that's pretty impressive.
Dirk got robbed.
Jeez.
Dirk got robbed. 06, Dirk got robbed.
I'm not even going to.
It was fixed.
I'm not even going to.
Tim Donaghy, fixed. NBA, David Stern, fixed.
Anyways, Allen Iverson, when he won the MVP and was just a scoring machine, what did he have, like... Him and Carter both had 50 in that conference semifinal. Yeah.
And that's still known as maybe the worst team ever to make an NBA Finals, that Iverson drugged the corpse of that 76ers
team. Oh, that was a bad team. Eric Snow was like the
Eric
other point
Snow
guard.
And I think Mutombo was on that
yes,
team.
Yes, it was a bad team. And they won a game against the Lakers in the NBA Finals.
I mean...
And they won game one, so everybody's like, what's going on here?
I mean, would you take...
Tyronn Lue.
Yeah. Wade versus Iverson is an interesting argument.
Yeah.
Nash versus Melo, you're taking Nash. Two MVPs for Nash.
Yeah, I mean, would.
And Bosch and Ray Allen, you take Ray Allen's career over Bosch.
Because
so.
Bosch is our kind of, well, maybe.
Yeah, so I think I got to go 96. Kudos to Marcus.
See, here's the problem, though, because I just feel like LeBron trumps.
But he doesn't trump Kobe, not yet.
Yeah.
He doesn't trump Kobe yet.
If they win a title this year, though?
No. Then he's still got, what, two less than Kobe?
Yeah, Kobe has five, doesn't he?
Yep.
I suppose he has to win one now by himself, just him.
That's the next thing. He's got to win a whole bunch. And even then, the rest of that 96 draft is just so deep. I don't know if you're taking that entirety of a draft.
I think Marcus wins this one. I think the 96 draft wins.
Kudos to Marcus.
Very good find.
You put up a good effort with 2003. You really did.
I tried to.
You did.
Some of the names that you may have forgotten about. Priest Lauderdale was the number 20.
Priest Lauderdale,
the number
28
overall pick by the Atlanta Hawks.
Moochie Norris.
I love that name.
Great hair with Moochie Norris.
Roy Rogers.
Malik Rose. Played on a couple of those Spurs title teams.
Jeff McInnes.
Yeah, he was skinny.
Which I feel like he had a nickname.
Most people do.
I mean, I was like, it was something that he went by.
Yeah, Travis Knight, he was really pasty.
Snoop McGinnis. Wasn't that what he went by? I think that was. I think that was.
Oh, there's some Walter McCarty. He was another toothpick that played. He played for Boston for a while. I think he was drafted by the Knicks. Delk in there. We talked Vitaly Potapenko, just a great name.
You know who I'm thinking of? Is Snoop Minnis.
Okay.
Wide out from Florida State.
We are so far off.
Doesn't
the
matter.
Rails.
Let's keep going with this. Yeah. This is fun. I like going with names that nobody remembers.
Todd Fuller, I think he played on a couple of those horrible 76ers teams that somehow that Iverson drug around.
Oh, man, I'm looking at some of these 0-3 picks. Keith Bogans. I remember him at Kentucky.
Yeah, not so much in the NBA.
No. Willie Green, I kind of remember him.
I think he also played with Iverson.
I love these guys that were drafted but just never played in the NBA.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
Not a lot of roster spots.
No. Okay, that's going to do it. Yeah. So. Well, that is the end of the 042 podcast. We're going to be on a small hiatus for the time being. As Brad...
I get all cultured and worldly. I might come back with an accent. That's my goal.
You're not going to come back.
I want an accent when I come back. I have a horrible British accent.
Do it right now.
No.
Come on. Spaltusly. Do it. Let's hear it.
Oh, gosh.
Come on now.
I don't even...
Bond. James Bond. Yeah. Just think of it like that. Just think of it, you're James Bond.
Do my Connery. James Bond.
That's pretty good, actually. Now, if you can... Can you order something from a London vendor in that voice and see if they know if you're...
Fishing chips.
God, they would know right away. Yeah, you're faking it. Get out of here. Yeah. Please don't do that, because I'd be afraid you get punched. So,
Although that would be a good story.
Yeah, that would be actually a great story. You have fun in Europe. We'll have fun back here on the stateside. And I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. So, Brad Jones, where can they find you at?
At the Bison Guy.
Find me at PintoKFGO. Find us on iTunes. Find us at KFGO.com. I'll be posting this on Facebook. So, for Brad Jones, I'm Daniel Gunnarsson, saying thank you very much and have a wonderful rest of whatever you're doing today. Hey, like